note of their name and let their, in case you haven't met them or don't know them personally, please just let their faces kind of etch in your memory, if you would. And we want to encourage you to be praying for them. And if the Lord lays something on your heart, you can contact Pastor Joe about that, if you would. Well, I want to ask you to take your Bibles and find Joshua chapter 6. And in your bulletin, there's a sermon note page. You can take that out and follow along with me if you're so inclined. I invite you to do that. And Joshua, actually, we're going to start with Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, then go into Joshua chapter 6. And today we're going to be talking about a very familiar, for many of you perhaps. In fact, even this week I was sent a picture of preschoolers that were learning about when the walls came down in the city of Jericho. And there was a picture, and one of the little boys, I think it was Robert Riggs' little boy, had a little like horn in his hand, and there was these little cardboard blocks laying all over the floor, and they were acting out the story. And it reminds me of something that happened in a church one time. A new pastor decided to visit a children's Sunday school class, and the teacher introduced him and said, "Good morning, Pastor. We're studying the book of Joshua." And so new pastor said, "Well," he said, "Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Let's just see what you're learning." And so he asked this question. He said, "Now listen, this is what I want to know. Who tore down the walls of Jericho?" And all of a sudden, this little boy, it seems like they're always named Johnny in these little preacher stories, slyly raised his hand. He said, "Pastor, I did not tear down those walls." And kind of taken aback, the pastor was surprised by this. He goes, "Now come on now, y'all tell me, who tore down those walls?" About then the teacher interrupted and said, "Pastor, please don't press the point. If Johnny said he didn't do it, he didn't do it. I've known him for a long time." And by then the pastor's flustered. He goes to the Sunday school director and he says, "Sunday school director, listen, this is ridiculous. All I want to know from that class is who tore down the walls of Jericho." And the Sunday school director said, listen, Johnny's family, his parents are friends of mine. They've been going to this church a long time. If that boy said he didn't do it, I have to believe he didn't do it." And the pastor then says, "This is ridiculous." He says, "I'm going to go to the deacons about it." He goes to the deacons. He says, calls the deacons again. He says, "Deacons, all I wanted to know from that class, all I asked that class was who tore down the walls of Jericho." And they said, "Now listen, Pastor, we've talked to the Sunday school director. We've talked to the teacher. And we've even talked to Johnny's parents because we understand that you're accusing him. And we want you to know, listen, we need to take care of this. We don't need this split in the church." And finally, one old wise elderly gentleman, been a deacon a long time, leaned back in his chair and he stroked his chin. He said, "Well, Pastor and Brother Deacons, I'd like to make a motion that we just take the money out of the general fund to rebuild those walls." Now, of course, that's kind of a silly story. And we know who tore down the walls of Jericho, don't we, church? The Lord God Almighty, amen? He's the one who tore down the walls. And that's the message today. I want us to hear loud and clear that it's the Lord that causes walls to come tumbling down. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Follow along with me. I just want to read God's word to you this morning. And I want you to absorb and follow along with me. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Listen to God's word. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and he said to him, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he worshipped, and he said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now, Jericho was shut up inside and outside. It was locked down tight, church, because of the people of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with that ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. Excuse me. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord who is going to tear down these walls. The Lord said, these walls must fall. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that in whatever we have in our lives that needs to come tumbling down this morning, I pray it will. Whatever stronghold is in my life or in the lives of these individuals or in the life of any family or the life of this church, God, I pray today it will just be torn down. That we would understand that we are indeed in a battle. We are in a spiritual war. And God, I pray today that we would hear you loudly and clearly saying, this wall must come down. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to transport you back several years into world history. I want to take you back to a scene that was commemorating the 750th anniversary of a city in Europe, a city that had seen its share of war. I want to take you to the city of Berlin in the 1980s, where President Ronald Reagan makes a speech that would go down in history. Y'all go ahead and see if you can play this clip for us.
Of freedom. We hear much from Moscow about a new policy of reform and openness. Some political prisoners have been released. Certain foreign news broadcasts are no longer being jammed. Some economic enterprises have been permitted to operate with greater freedom from state control. Are these the beginnings of profound changes in the Soviet state, or are they token gestures intended to raise false hopes in the West or to strengthen the Soviet system without changing it? We welcome change and openness, for we believe that freedom and security go together, that the advance of human liberty can only strengthen the cause of world peace. There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Thank y'all so much for playing that. Do you remember that? Some of you do. Some of you remember that. He said, tear down this wall. Later on in the speech, Ronald Reagan would go on to say that this wall will fall, for it cannot withstand faith. It cannot withstand truth. The wall cannot withstand freedom. You see, America, if you know your history, America and the West were in what was called a Cold War. They were in this war against tyranny and oppression in so many ways. And that was a war that really gripped this country for, well, almost half a century. But loved ones, I want us to understand something. That humanity is in another war. The church itself finds herself engaged, not in a cold war, but in a spiritual war. A war that relates to the souls of men and women and boys and girls. A spiritual war that impacts every single life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." In Joshua chapter 6, we see that the very people of God, after 40-some years, they are poised. They're on the precipice of entering into this battle, which was going to have to take place. This battle was going to have to occur because, see, there was going to be no success in the promised land if this battle did not occur. I think about how when they must have looked at that city-state, they saw it surrounded by these two great stone walls. The outer wall being 20 feet tall and 6 feet wide. That wasn't the only wall. There was an inner wall, 30 feet tall and 12 feet wide. These two walls separated by a 15-foot divide that was a guarded walkway. The city only covered about 9 acres, but listen, it must have looked like an impossible, impenetrable fortress of a city. How was it going to be conquered? How are they going to have victory in this battle? And that's what I want us to understand today. Because see, in each and every one of our lives, we can face Jerichos. They seem like impossible, impenetrable battles. We may wonder, what does this battle over 3,000 years ago have to do with us today? Well, it teaches us a lot about our own walk with the Lord. For instance, it might be some besetting sin that stands between you and God's best for your life. It might be some old hurt that's grown into a root of bitterness, loved one, that now stands as a barrier between you and what God's wanting to do in your life. It might be a cold and indifferent spirit that has invaded your life, seized control, and is in charge now. That's erected a wall between you and the Lord and His best for you. It might be a bad attitude, an unforgiving spirit, pride, anger, something in your past. Anything that stands in the way of you, your walk with the Lord, and what God has promised for you. You see, this was a very real battle for the Israelites. They were going to have to confront Jericho. In fact, this was probably one of the reasons that 10 of the 12 spies, when they returned and they informed Moses and the previous generation that they were fearful of going in to the promised land, Jericho is probably one of the reasons why. And I wonder right now this morning, here within the sound of my voice, what is it that you fear? Are you ready for the battle? How can you and I, how can we have spiritual victory in the battles that we face as followers, not of Joshua, but of our Joshua, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to just kind of unpack this chapter for you in what I want to call three scenes in the battle. Three scenes in the battle as we consider tearing down the walls. Here's the first scene. I want you to see what I want to call our loyalty. Our loyalty in the battle. And this is what takes place before the battle. Before the battle, Joshua in chapter 5, verse 13, he was by Jericho. Perhaps he was out there surveying the land. He was inspecting. He was looking at the battlefield. And it says this in the Bible, that he lifted up his eyes and he looked. And all of a sudden, behold, the Bible tells us that a man was standing before him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and he said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" You see, Joshua, it mattered to Joshua whose side you were on. Joshua knew that the battle was too important, that it was too real for folks to waffle. Understand this, listen. You cannot simply pick the path of moderation and think you're going to survive the battle of the Lord, the spiritual battles. You can't go that route. We can try being wishy-washy. We can try being lukewarm. The Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation, he speaks directly to the church of Laodicea about that. He says, listen, I wish you was this way or that way. I can't stand you being lukewarm. Joshua couldn't either. He just wanted to know, listen, are you with us or not? But look at the response. This is one of these verses to highlight, in my opinion, in the Bible. Verse 14, and he said no. Now, Joshua had not asked this individual a yes or no question. This is almost comical. Hey, are you with us or against us? No. Do you just get that? Just let that sink in for a minute. That ought not to be lost on us. He says no. Look at what he says. He says, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and now I've come. Listen, bottom line is this, is the Lord himself has shown up. And the important question is this, the Lord wants to know. Listen, do you understand who's in charge here? Do you understand who is indeed in command? And that's something that each and every one of us, we have to nail this down, folks. We have to determine, are we going to be loyal to the Lord or not? To Abraham, the pilgrim, the Lord, well, he came as a traveler. I think about Jacob, the schemer. You remember the Lord came to him as a wrestler to bring him into a place of submission. I think about those three Hebrew men who met him in the fiery furnace and he was their companion. Joshua meets him as his commander. Have you come to see the Lord as your commander? I want you to know, listen, before you go into battle, before you can have a hope of spiritual victory, before this church can have any thought of being successful in the Lord's eye and being a force to be reckoned with in this community, understand this. You and I must come to understand that the Lord is our commander. Our loyalty in the battle. Listen, you got to recognize that you're not in command. There is a God. Hey, understand this. There is a God and you're not him. There is a God, and I'm not him. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord. Micah 6:8 says, he's told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. You want a simple sentence recipe for a healthy church and a healthy Christian walk, that's a good place to start right there, Micah 6:8. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. You know what? We just got to understand something right now. You want to be successful in your walk with the Lord? You want this church to be blessed by God? We need to get something nailed down, and we need to get it nailed down in a hurry. And listen, if I never get to preach here again, if you would just remember one thing I've told you, and this is it. Listen, the Lord Jesus is in charge. There is a God, and you're not him. I want you to understand this. There's a God, and you're not alone. It's interesting, Joshua evidently here, he's alone. He's out there walking by himself. You know, leadership can be lonely. I think it was President Harry Truman who said that leadership in the presidency of the United States is one of the loneliest positions a man can hold. Loved ones, I want you to know, listen, when you're trying to lead for the Lord in your family, in your workplace, I just want you to know, listen, it can get lonely. But there is a God and you're not alone. Joshua may have thought he was all by himself that day, but he wasn't. The Lord was right there with him. Listen, there's a God, you're not him. There's a God, you're not alone. And there's a God, and you should be for him even if you are alone. Joshua's out there and he's by himself and listen, he nails it down. It says right here in the text, verse 14, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I've come. What does Joshua do? What does he do, church? He fell on his face and he worshiped and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? Chinese Bible teacher Watchman Nee who wrote, not until we take the place of a servant can he take his place as Lord. You have to recognize, listen, you got to recognize you're second in command. You're not in command. This is the Lord's army, amen? This is the Lord's church, our loyalty in the battle, but also I want you to know, not only are you not in command, but you're on holy ground. It says this in verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Reminds me of when the Lord said that to Moses. Remember that? Listen, you got to understand. Listen. Even if you find yourself in what seems to be a heathen land, Joshua was in the land of Canaan now. Heathen land. Unspeakable ungodliness. Understand this, listen. Even though you may find yourself in a hedonistic heathen land, understand this, listen. The Lord is with you. And that makes where you're standing holy ground. Don't you ever forget that wherever you find yourself, you always remember that holy, holy, holy God is there. And he's in command. Our young people need to remember that. Our older people need to remember that. You see, bottom line here, before you go into battle, before you can have a hope of victory, you and I, we got to nail down something, and that is our loyalty. Our loyalty. I think about how in World War II, it was in the 1930s, actually on August 2nd, 1934, that the German army was gathered together, the Wehrmacht. And the Wehrmacht stood at attention. And the Wehrmacht, the German army, swore a loyalty oath to none other than their new Führer, Adolf Hitler. I swear by God the sacred oath that I shall render unconditional obedience to Adolf Hitler, the Führer of the German Reich, supreme commander of the armed forces, and I shall at all times be prepared as a brave soldier to give my life for this oath. You see, it matters who you swear your loyalty to. Many historians think that part of the demise of Germany also involved the fact that in some ways, blindly, these soldiers and German officers swore an oath to one of the greatest madmen and lunatics and evil individuals that ever walked the face of the earth. I think about our own service personnel. I think about the oath that they take. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. And see, our service personnel are to understand that their oath is not merely to an individual, but their oath is to abide by the Constitution of the United States of America. It's been said that we're to be a land of laws. And understand this, listen, your loyalty matters. Our loyalty is to be to the living God. Our loyalty is to be to the Lord Jesus Christ, who never sinned, who gave his life for us. Our loyalty ought to be to God's written word. Folks, I want to ask you this morning, where's your loyalty? Where's your loyalty in the battle? Today, nail it down. Nail it down that your loyalty will be supremely to the living God and the written word of God. Our loyalty. Where's my loyalty? The Lord Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbors yourself. Jesus said, Matthew 6, you cannot serve two masters. James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable. Revelation 14:7, and he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Where is your loyalty? Let's nail it down, church. Let's nail it down. Our loyalty would be to the Lord. That's the first scene. You got to get your loyalty straight. Number two, you got to get your strategy straight. Our strategy in the battle. Joshua 6, and now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went in, none went out, none came in. This is going to be a tough task, church. I want you to know this. Verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. And you shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets. You're going to see the word seven repeatedly. You might want to note that. Seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And on the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city will fall down. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. But then look at verse 6. Now this is instruction of the Lord. Now look at what Joshua does. Verse 6, so Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant And let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. I want you to see here, this strategy, first of all, it involves what I want to call confidence. Confidence. Joshua and indeed the people have confidence in the Lord and his word. There's no debating it. There's no meetings about it. There is a confidence in the Lord. I think about how Joshua had been told in Joshua chapter 1 to meditate on God's word. How Romans 10:17 tells us that God's word builds our confidence and causes faith. Do you have confidence in the Lord? That's the first part of your strategy. You're going to have confidence in the Lord. The second part I want you to see is what I want to call the presence of the Lord. That's a part of the strategy. In verse 6, down in verse 7, in verse 8, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13. In at least six places in this one chapter, you see the phrase, the ark of the Lord, or the ark of the covenant, or the word the ark, mentioned multiple times. And the ark of the Lord symbolized for these people the very presence of the Lord. And I want you to know this morning that if you want to be able to have a strategy in this battle, number one, you got to put your confidence in the Lord. And number two, you've got to remember the presence of the Lord. We need to keep the presence of the Lord in the center and focused on all that we're doing and all that we're about. You'll notice there were folks in front and folks behind. And folks around the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, which symbolizes the presence of God. Do you have your life centered on the presence of God? How do you do that? Well, you do that by reading the Word. Folks, there are so many ways today with online reading programs and Bible study books and just the Bible itself, folks. Listen, you can immerse yourself in the presence of the Lord. You can, wherever you go, you can talk with the Lord. You can pray to the Lord. But it's interesting that the strategy involved confidence and involved the presence of the Lord, but it also involved silence before the Lord. Did you see how, for instance, in verse 10, they're told, listen to this, look at this. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Silence before the Lord. You know how hard it is to get even a small group of people to be quiet? A large group of people to be quiet? In fact, when I think about soldiers, I'll confess to you, I like a good war movie. My wife disdains war movies. So for the sake of our marriage and a happy wife, I don't watch many war movies. But what I've always noticed in these war movies is, for instance, when the soldiers are charging into battle, what are they almost always doing? Yelling. Ah, they go running in to the battle. Listen, picture this. These folks were to march around a fortified city in complete silence. I'll ask you again. Do you know how hard it is to keep a group of people silent? Do you know how easy it is at times? I could just imagine this. They're walking around, right? Maybe they're better than I would have been. First day, they get around and they're absolutely silent. Second day. Now, by the third day, remember, these folks in Jericho, maybe the first couple days are like, oh, whoa, what's going on with this? But by probably the second or third day, I bet they're starting to yell at them, throw stuff at them. Where are you walking to? I mean, they're beginning to ridicule him. I could just imagine somebody somewhere in that line must have been tempted to have gone, I don't remember Moses ever doing anything like this. How many days are we going to have to keep walking around this city like this? Who do you think Joshua talked to about this idea? I mean, can you just imagine? Listen, you want to know, listen. When we're in a battle, it is so tempting to run my mouth. And the Bible says over and over again, be quiet, be still, and know I'm the Lord. F.B. Meyer calls silence one of the hardest commands in the Bible. This might shock you, but often I've been considered a bit of a talker. And it can be hard for me not to just want to talk out loud about what's in my mind. I'm what polite people call an oral processor or a verbal processor. That's what the people call me who work with me. They're just being nice. They're saying he wants to talk about it until y'all figure it out. That's kind of how he rolls. But you know what I'm learning? Is I must take time to be still and know the Lord. It is important to shut out the noise of this world and listen to God's what I'm trying to say. You want a strategy in this battle? You got to have confidence in the Lord. You got to know the presence of the Lord. You're going to have to be silent. You're going to have silence before the Lord. And it comes down to obedience to the Lord. Obedience. So this was a strange strategy. This was not in the military books. I can just imagine the soldiers and the generals and the colonels going, Joshua, we love you, brother, but you know, we've got battering rams. We've got spears. We've got ladders. We've got ropes. It was a strange strategy. But it was a successful strategy. These walls end up falling down. And I want you to understand why it was successful. It's because it was a sanctified strategy. I told you I was going to highlight this. It mentioned several times that there were seven priests, seven trumpets, the seventh day, and seven times they were going to blow those trumpets. And that was going to be a shout of victory. Understand this. Listen. When this takes place, what these Israelites were illustrating is that the strategy in the battle simply comes down to this. And if you've ever sung very many hymns of our faith, you've probably sung the hymn, Trust and Obey. And that's what it really comes down to. Do you want to know what the strategy in the battle is? It comes down to this. Trust and obey. For there's no other way. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. You see, loved ones, today I want you to understand. I want you to understand our loyalty in the battle is where it starts. God gives us a strategy in the battle. His ways are higher than our ways. His weapons are not our weapons. His work is not our work. We are dependent upon him. Listen, understand this. Listen, the Lord does not come to take sides. The Lord comes to take over. Where's your loyalty? Is your strategy from the Lord? Because ultimately our victory in the battle is of the Lord. That's the third scene. It's a scene of victory. It's a scene of victory. Verse 15, on the seventh day they rose early at the dawn of the day, and they marched around the city in the same manner seven times. And it was on that day that they marched around the city seven times. And at the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given. He's given you the city. Victory. Victory. At the beginning of chapter 6, the Lord says, I've given it to you. And now Joshua claims that promise and he says, shout, the Lord has given you this city. And loved ones, listen. We learn how to have victory in this chapter. Joshua says, now listen, when you go in this city, you're going to have to devote everything to the Lord. And you get a picture of destruction. This city was a city of idolatry, of fornication, of ungodliness. And this city has to be devoted to the Lord. And that's one thing I want you to know about victory in the Lord. Listen. If you're going to have victory in the battle, you're going to have to seek and destroy. Now that sounds awfully militant, doesn't it? And that sounds violent. But the Bible gets violent when it comes to sin in my life. I must allow God to work in my life to seek and destroy whatever it is in my life that is an idol in my life. Before God, you got to seek and destroy. Maybe someone needs to be forgiven. Maybe you got to get a new circle of friends. Maybe you need to change the way you go to and from work. Maybe you got to change the kind of TV you watch or the books you read. Listen. Whenever God gives the victory in your life, you got to take whatever steps are necessary to see that the problem in your life is absolutely, totally conquered. I got to seek and destroy whatever it is in my life that's keeping me from having victory. But then secondly, I want you to see, not just seek and destroy. Here's the other picture. Search and rescue. The chapter ends with Joshua instructing them. In verse 22, but to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her as you swore to her. So the young men, listen, who had been spies went in and they brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all who belonged to her, and they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. You see, I got to seek and destroy whatever it is in my life that's keeping me from God. And then I've got to allow God to use me to search and to rescue whoever it is that in the midst of this destruction can be saved. You see, really, here's victory. Victory is my devotion. Victory is devotion to the Lord, and victory is salvation of the Lord. Do you see that? Now, I've gone through this quickly as I could today, because I want you to understand something. The Lord wants us to have victory in the battle. The Bible says the wall came down. Reminded of Revelation 21. Revelation 21 says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow, crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. I heard a loud shout from the throne. The people shouted. They blew those ram horns. They blew those ram horns. You see, these were not the type of horns they blew like a bugle calling people to battle. They had a different trumpet for that. The shofar, it was not blown by soldiers, it was blown by priests. It was blown to signify celebration and assured victory and praise to the Lord. Loved ones, listen. The Bible tells us we're not just soldiers, but the Bible tells us that as followers of Christ, we're priests. That's right. The Bible says, the Apostle Peter wrote, you are a royal priesthood. And I want to ask you something. When was the last time you just shouted for the Lord? Now, I know I look across this audience, and y'all are a very dignified-looking group. You are. You're very, I'll say that for the record on the tape. You're very dignified-looking. And I'm sure many of you have been to plenty of sports events where you've even found dignified ways to act like raging lunatics. Some of you have found that what you're going to do is you're just going to get in the quietness of your den, dear sir, your family room, and you're going to holler and scream and go crazy like that. Some of you, well, you just want to be with other people. And so you dress up, you put flags on your car, and you drive across the state to Hokie Land or wherever you go, and you holler and scream. Past few weekends, we've been at swim meets with my kids. And this past Tuesday, my three kids were swimming up at the pool in Richmond. My son, my 13-year-old boy, he was swimming in a relay. He was last leg. They were a little bit behind. And that boy was swimming so fast. So fast, he starts getting close. The victory is in sight. All of a sudden, my wife stands to her feet. And she yells, of course, very dignified for the record. I'm already standing up. I find myself hollering and screaming. The screaming was deafening in the place. Everybody's hollering and screaming. And I think all but about one or two people were screaming for my son. And we're hollering and we're screaming. And he reaches. And I look at the scoreboard. And all of a sudden it puts up there the team. By a tenth of a second, my son had outreached the competition. And we were jumping and hollering and screaming. We were shouting for victory. But when was the last time we shouted unto the Lord? Because He is the victory. Loved ones, I want us to remember this passage today. And so I just simply want to ask you this. Number one, where's your loyalty? If you're here today and you've never, ever surrendered your loyalty to the Lord Jesus, I'm just going to be down front, and I'm going to invite you to come forward. And just to share with me, fellow soldier, a neighbor, a father, a son, a guy who lives down the street, just come share with me. Just start it today. I invite you to come tell me where your loyalty is. Where your loyalty is. I wasn't ashamed of my son that day. You ought not to be ashamed of Jesus. Where's your loyalty? What's your strategy been, friend? What's your strategy been? Today is a day of victory. Stand your feet with me, bow your heads in prayer. You may be here today also, and you need to identify yourself with this army called Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. I invite you to come forward and express your decision, become part of this church. You may be here today finally, and you just want to come, and you want to fall on your face before the Lord. You want to just kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, I recognize your presence. I want to confess my confidence in you. God, help me take some time today and this week to be silent before you. And Lord, help me to be obedient to you. Father, I pray right now in the sound of my voice, you'll bring victory in this place. Oh God, we may have to be silent before we're ready to shout. God, work in our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond as we sing. Brother Andy, lead us, brother.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget